You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsFantasyBenefits.com. Joining with me on this episode of the Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Real good, my man. Excited to talk about a little system that's probably underrated. We're just talking about this briefly. A lot of people kind of shit on this system, but I think it's better than people think.
And, I mean, it's got some guys that are fairly close for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, It's not overwhelming with depth. You know, we'll talk about on tomorrow's podcast the Yankees and how deep that system is.
Yeah,
but it's got some real talent, and the real talent is coming up quick.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, and it's on both sides of the ball too. So mm-hmm. It's good.
Before we get started, remind everybody you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. So let's get started on the Oakland A's.
Let's do it.
I mean, I think you have to start. I mean, they're definitely guys who are going to be up at the start of the year. But the top guy in their system is Franklin Barreto. And he is, what, a top 20 prospect in baseball?
I believe so, but I think he's a little bit higher than that for me in fantasy realm.
Okay.
Not much higher, but he's in that ballpark, 15 to 20 range. I think the thing with a lot of the shortstops in the minor leagues now, I mean, we had guys, you know, Dansby Swanson's going to be graduated after the first game because he was legit 2 at-bats short from being rookie eligible.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he'll be graduated fairly quickly. And then you look at the other shortstops in the minor leagues, and you got it's Brendan Rodgers,
J.P. Crawford,
and it's Ahmad Rosario, and Willie Adames from Tampa Bay. I'm sure I'm forgetting some, but like, and Franklin Barreto. I think Barreto is in the tier a little bit lower than like Brendan Rodgers, but I think he's a little bit higher for me than J.P. Crawford.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that is fair.
And so that puts him by default in the 15 to 20 range. And I think people are sleeping on Barreto a little bit. I mean, it's tough for him. And he gets traded for Josh Donaldson. I mean, that's automatically like a big target on you. And then when you kind of put up seasons that people feel are disappointing, playing in the Cal League and hitting 13 homers, people are like, well, that's Cal League. It should be more. Hey, man, he's a shortstop. He was extremely young for every level he's played at. He's only 20 years old and he's already got AAA time. So keep that in mind. Quick twitch athlete from Venezuela, 30 stolen bases last year, hit 11 homers, 25 doubles. The doubles totals for me point to more power coming. I think he's a 15-20 guy in the major leagues, and I think he's getting no pub.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy who's going to hit for a decent average. Yep. I mean, showed
280-ish. Yeah, his bat skills are elite.
Showed a 7% walk percentage at AAA last year, so I mean, I like the tools. He, like you said, I think he's going to be up later this year.
Oh, yeah, I think he'll be up this year. That's another added bonus. Yep.
The question is, what do they do with Marcus Semien, who's like the only like legit piece or one of the few legit pieces in that on that team?
you move him to second base where your profile is better.
Okay.
Because the glove isn't – Marcus Semien's glove, we've all seen the defensive issues. I know most of it's throwing, but he's not – he's kind of stretched as a shortstop. I mean, how many more realistic years does Semien have at shortstop? I mean, I know he's still young, but like – you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's barely passable now if you want to – I mean, I know he made improvements, but like you have Barreto coming up, and Barreto's the type of guy that is going to stick at short. You move – Semien the second. Who's he gonna bounce? Jed Lowry. Okay.
Like, yeah. You know, I think that's a very fair observation. Yeah. Let's move on to some other guys who are going to be up early. Jarrell Cotton. What are your thoughts on him?
Paul Spohr needs to stop hyping him so I can get a chance of getting him this year. That's my thoughts. But if you remember, we did the prospect pod with me and Mike. We analyzed all the trade deadline moves and. I know I did. I can't speak for him, but I think he was with me on this. We said Jarrell Cotton was – I know you're going to disagree. We said Jarrell Cotton was the best player that they got back for Rich Hill and Josh Reddick. Mm-hmm. That trade with the Dodgers, we said Cotton was going to be the better guy because the other two, for record, if you guys don't know, are Frankie Montas and Grant Holmes. And I think Cotton, although – he doesn't have the ceiling that either one of those two guys have. He's extremely safe, and he showed some success in the majors last year with Oakland. Showed what he can do with that changeup. Changeup's an out pitch you can use at any count. Also has a slider and a curveball. 5'11", a little bit lighter on the frame. Fastball gets up to 96, sits 92, 93. Throws two-seamers, throws cutters. He's a kind of a Swiss Army knife. But pitch, you got to love the ballpark, got to love the division. Lots to like about Cotton. I'm not going to unfortunately own him this year because the price he's going is kind of absurd to me right now. But that's the price you pay, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him go in such a wide variety of spots in drafts. And so, I mean, I think there are leagues in which you're going to get him extremely cheap, and then there are leagues you're going to have to pay. And the leagues you're going to have to pay, I'm going to be out just because, I mean, especially in a wins league, he's playing in Oakland. It's a great park for pitchers. I love the changeup, but I'm not 100% sold he is a guy who could be elite like other people within the industry. You mentioned Paul Spohr, a big proponent of his, as well as Eno Saris, both have been talking him up a lot. When guys like that do those kind of things, the draft stock goes up. But, I mean, we had a listener who had been DMing me on Twitter, in the midst of his dynasty draft, and he got him, like, outside the top 200 in his dynasty league as, like, his number 6 or 7 pitcher. And that, to me, is, like, a perfect spot for a guy like Cotton.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure his long-term value is much more than it is now.
Yeah, but, you shouldn't be worried that much about long-term in dynasty anyways. You should be trying to win now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I guess Cotton, he's a mid-rotation arm for me in the fantasy realm, which is still damn good. I thought he was going a little higher than he was. I'm looking at you. You nailed it, though, with the big range, because I'm on the ADP, NFBC website now. His range, he's going, the high end is 207 overall, which I think is too high, and the low end is 330, which is nuts.
Yeah.
And so he's an average pick of 265, and I think that's actually probably about right. 71st mm-hmm. starting pitcher off the board. Behind Joe Ross, Garrett Richards, and Junior Guerra, and right ahead of Iwakuma, Dylan Bundy, and Colin McHugh. And I can't argue with that.
That is absolutely perfect.
That's a sweet spot right there. Yeah.
So I mean, in the leagues where he's going in the 207, you're not gonna get him. But if he starts dropping outside the top 270, that's when I think he's a perfect bargain.
And you'll find, as you know, listening to me talk, we'll talk more about it when we see more of these guys with the changeups. I love guys with changeups. I think it's a harder pitch to learn. You can't learn the changeup as mm-hmm. much as you can learn an off-speed pitch. And Cotton's got that changeup, and it's. I don't want to put an 80 on it. Well, I will, though, because he controls it, and it moves like – it's crazy. Like it moves like a screwball. Like it moves down and into the right-handed hitters, and he's a right-handed pitcher, so it's weird. But it's a filthy pitch. Like you watch him pitch on an MLB – the extra innings or whatever service you use, and you watch it, you have to rewind it because you're like, what the hell pitch was that? Mm-hmm. But it's his changeup, and it's 77 miles an hour. His average fastball is 92. I'm no math major, but 15 miles an hour off your fastball is fucking nice if you can locate it. So mm-hmm. can't cheat on the. It makes his average velocity for a righty play up, because you got to watch in the back of your mind, he's got this pitch he can locate wherever he wants, and it's way slower, so I can't be geared up for it. So it's a hell of a thing he must do to hitters there.
Let's move on to some other guys who are close to the major leagues. Anybody interesting?
Well, we can talk about a zombie prospect that was left for dead that kind of came back, and I've heard nothing about him all winter. Frankie Montas. He's been traded several times. White Sox, Red Sox to White Sox, White Sox to Dodgers, Dodgers to A's.
Mm-hmm. Now, all I don't within know the course that, of a year.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't know what that all that says. What that says about him getting traded so much, but I guess it means someone else wants you too, right? Mm-hmm. And he's been a starter for most of his pro career. 86 out of his 106 minor league appearances and major league appearances have been as a starter. He had a crazy injury. He had to get a rib removed this year to kind of his originally diagnosed as a broken rib, and then they had to have surgery to remove it. So that kind of delayed him to start. He got a few innings at the back end of this year with the Dodgers. I don't know what to think of Montas, to be honest. I think Oakland is still trying to use him as a starter. He's kind of on the bigger side, and he's athletic, but not as athletic as I would like him to be. He's 6'2", 255, so, I mean, he's filled out. He's a big boy. He has a 90-mile-an-hour slider, so that's kind of filthy. Fastball touches 100, sits high 90s. I don't believe in the third pitch. I don't think his changeup is that great. And a lot of other sources my go-tos believe the same way. And I think the spotty fastball command, he struggles repeating his delivery. I think the command kind of pushes him to a relief role, but I think he's one of those guys. He's going to be, you'll find out if we talk about Dylan Tate in tomorrow's podcast, like along those lines of a high leverage relief arm, but he can walk multiple innings. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I think he is a future, high leverage relief guy as well. I know a lot of people really thought about him being in the rotation. I don't know if he can stay healthy. I don't even know if the A's are going to even try to put him in the rotation in Triple A next year. So,
yeah,
I think he's destined for the bullpen, which, I mean, he could be a future stud closer.
Sure can. This organization doesn't have one, so.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to another guy. Who you got?
Well, you like Matt Chapman? I don't know if you do. I don't think you do.
I'm not a big Matt Chapman guy.
Well, he's right up your. It's weird that you're not, because he's right up your alley with the batting averages. But he's a guy from Cal State Fullerton, big baseball factory. Low batting average, but last year he slashed .237, .328, so good OBP, .519 with 36 homers and 514 at bats between Double A and Triple A. Excellent third base defense. The gun for an arm is the best tool there. He's a no shit third baseman. He's a Gold Glove candidate. If he gets enough traction, the power and the walks are the ideal skill set. Obviously, he has the issues that you're well aware of with the batting averages and mm-hmm. stuff. He strikes out too much, but he does supplement it with walks. If you're in an OBP format, you're looking at a guy he could have similar value to like Carlos Santana. You know what I mean, with the power mm-hmm. and the walks and the OBP. But you look at a batting average league; it's significantly lower than that. But I don't think there's a better third base prospect defensively in the minors that's going to hit 30 home runs. So I know that's a weird group to be in, but I think he's the only member of that group, and it's worth saying something because he's going to play, and if he doesn't hit right away, the defense is going to keep him in the lineup. So he's got a level of safety that comes with that. You know what I mean? It's weird putting a guy who hit .244 in Double A and .197 in Triple A in limited at-bats. It's weird saying a guy like that is safe, but I think the defense makes him that way.
I think that's a really good point, too, because that's something I think we tend to forget about in terms of fantasy, is because defense isn't highly regarded. Though I think we do a fairly good job of pointing out,
I like to point out defense because I point out the full package. So, yeah, I think
it's important because, I mean, that's half of the game. You know, and if you can't definitely play defense, you're going to have a hard time staying on the field. It's one of the reasons why, when we talk about Kyle Schwarber, guys like you and I are down on him. We love the offensive package, but if you can't play defense, you're going to have a hard time getting on the field.
Yeah, and we know at-bats are currency, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you have a reason to lose any at-bats, it's a little bit of worrisome. You lose two at-bats a week, that's what, 100 at-bats a season?
Mm-hmm. And that, pretty close. That makes a difference.
Yep.
What about other guys that are close to the major league level?
Ted Pinder was a guy who came up. He's a utility guy, but he's an offensive first, shortstop, second baseman. And in this organization, I think that's a good spot to be because Jed Lowry is at second base for the week until he gets hurt. And then they got Simeon and Barreto, but then they're still going to need another guy. And I think Chad Pinder is that dude. Nothing exciting. The tools don't jump off the page, but he's just a guy that's produced everywhere he's been. He's a good OBP guy in the minors, 258, 410 last year with his average OBP in AAA. He's going to hit 10 to 12 homers, steal a handful of bases. He's a good enough defensive player. He's probably not a shortstop, but he can play second base. He's a guy worth knowing. AL-only leagues, he's going to have some value.
Mm-hmm.
So Chad Pinder, especially with the inevitable Jed Lowry injury coming, if the Lowry injury comes early, I think Pinder gets the first shot. It'll be him or Joey Wendell. One of those two will get the first shot at second base, and if it's later in the season, I think Barreto does. But Pinder's a nice guy. I'm not saying draft him by any means, but you can follow him late in the draft.
Sure.
I guess a guy, he's going to be the starting catcher, which this came out of nowhere for me, Bruce Maxwell. Excuse me. I was aware of him when he got drafted in 2012 in the second round out of little Birmingham Southern up down there in Alabama, but 62nd overall pick. He's a Division III player, so him getting in the major leagues is impressive. But from everything I've read, it's a really questionable defensive profile, which you think, you know, with the Moneyball mantra and the way that pitch framing is kind of taking over, I don't want to say taking over the game, but it's become a bigger part. I'm surprised that a analytics-heavy organization like Oakland isn't trying to benefit from that as well, unless they think he's a good pitch framer, which I guess you don't have to be a good defensive player to be a good pitch framer, so maybe he is. The defensive stuff's not there. I don't think the power will ever be more than 8 to 10. I do think he's got an odd chance to post high batting averages. So if he can hit 280 with 8 home runs, I guess it has some value in AL-only formats or two catcher leagues. There's still some guys behind him. Steven Vogt looks like he's going to DH and catch, and they got Josh Fegley hanging around. But
you don't think that Maxwell's improved his defense?
I think he has, but I mean that's really hard for me to quantify. Catching prospects is it's a different animal because you look at the stat line and you're like, why the hell isn't so and so up? He's hitting the shit out of the ball, but then you're like, well, because he can't be a catcher. You know what I mean? There's so many different things.
I've heard and read, and unfortunately, when I went into watch the A's minor league game that I went to last year, he wasn't playing in that game. But from what I've heard, his catching is actually his defense is much
good.
Improved.
Good because it needs to. But I mean, you got to watch though. You know, a lot of times when catchers are focusing on improving their defense, their offense takes a hit. And it looks like his didn't. And he's kept the batting averages. I mean, he's never going to be he's the most boring vanilla asset you can probably own in fantasy this year, to be honest with you, because he's not going to be exciting in anything. But I think, like I said, a catcher that can hit 280 with 8 home runs, I mean, that's worth something, right? It's really hard profile. I'm not going to be invested. But I am I'm glad to hear his defense is better because it was pretty bad when I saw it first time. So everything I used to read about him before hinted at how bad it was, so I'm glad it's better.
Okay.
I guess Renato Nunez could be up this year. I'm not a third base guy. I'm not in on him at all.
Yeah, he was the guy I was in on last year, but the defense is brutal, and if he can't play third, he's not going to profile well at first.
And if he can't take a walk, he's not going to be in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So 228, 278, 412 isn't going to cut it in AAA. 23 homers, that's nice. 119 strikeouts and 505 at-bats. He's a guy whose batting average has never really been great, but he doesn't make enough contact, and the defense hasn't improved. So I think he's a bench corner infield bench bat, kind of similar to like Jeffrey Marte in with the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be Nunez's ultimate thing. Another guy that I'm down on is Matt Olson. He's athletic enough that they moved him to the outfield. He used to be a former first base. He looked at as a first base only guy, but the A's moved him to right field. He drew a lot of helium when in 2014 in the Cal League when he hit 37 homers with a 404 OBP. That'll draw anyone's attention. 947 OPS. But he's shown to be a Cal League mirage. After this, in 2015 and 2016, he had 17 homers with 466 and 464 at-bats, respectively. So I think that's the level. You know what I mean? That's what you're going to be looking at, a 430 slug, 230, 240, 250 average. Decent OBPs. He does take a walk as one of his best skills offensively. But again, I think it's kind of a boring option, but it's one that can compete for a job in right field, and he might win that job and be the right fielder for Oakland. You never know.
Okay. Anybody else that's close to the major leagues, or should we start moving to guys a little bit farther away?
We're going to move a little bit down a notch. Talk about A.J. Puck, the big first base, excuse me, first baseman, the big pitching prospect that was taken by the A's. He slipped a little bit to the, I believe, the ninth pick of the draft. I don't have that in front of me, but it's the ninth pick. 90 to 95, gets it up to 97, 98 from the left side, so I'm automatically in love. That's all I need to hear. The above-average slider, 80 to 86, flashes plus pitch. I think it's a plus pitch. It's an important pitch for me because I think that slider alone, with the fastball velocity, gives him a very high floor of a dominant reliever, like if he doesn't clean up the secondary, like the other secondaries or the command. But he's got like an Andrew Miller kind of vibe with that elite slider. So that's the thing to watch. But I do think the changeup has a chance to be an average pitch, which is good because then he's a starter. The curveball lacks a little bit behind for me. But I'm a really big believer in Puck. I think he's a strikeout per inning guy. He can cut the walks down, which is not a guarantee. But I'm a believer in the A.J. Puck train. How about you?
I am too, and I think he's a guy that could move fairly quickly. I think we could see him after Memorial Day next year, so 2018.
Yeah, I'm for that. I think that's a realistic shot of happening. He went number six. I'm sorry, I was wrong on the draft slot. I said number nine. He went number six. I was just trying to make a 69 joke, but I went the wrong way around it. No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, you look in 2015, he had 12 strikeouts per nine. And he entered this season as a lock for the number one, like I say lock, but as the top prospect on like draft boards, and he ended up slipping to number six. Okay, that's fine. But like I said, 98, we gets ground balls. He's not really athletic, which kind of hurts me for me. The delivery's got some questions. He's working on the changeup, threw it a lot more this year. The slider took a little slight twinge backwards this year, but I think if that picks back up, and there's no reason why I don't think it should, I think 2017 is a really big year for Puck. So he's got to watch. He's going pretty high in drafts right now, supplement drafts. So you're going to have to take that chance and you see how you feel about pitching prospects. But I don't mind investing in Puck, so I'm okay with that.
All right, we ready to have our argument?
Yeah, man, shoot it.
All right, Grant Holmes, tell me why you hate my boyfriend.
Well, I'm going to be like Aaron Burr. I'm going to challenge you to a duel because this is not my type of guy. He's got the reputation, 92, 95, gets a lot of sink, gets a lot of ground balls. But, yes, I know he's been in rough pitching development, but he hasn't done anything that jumps out to me. I've always been reading about how he's, you know, polished and everything, but his career ERA in the minors is just under 4. I know ERA sucks as a stat, but it is what it is. Strikeouts are just a smidge over 1 per inning, which I thought should be more, and the walks are too high. And if you look at his major league, look at his minor league page on MLB.com, you want to punch him because he looks like an idiot. But have you seen him? You got to go to there.
Let me go to his baseball reference page while you talk.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have a picture on that page, so you can't see it. But
all right, well, I'm Googling him.
I think he needs. See, the thing with Holmes, I don't like. He gets a lot of ground balls. It's great from a fantasy aspect, though. That doesn't do much. The strikeouts that he was getting elite strikeout numbers, they're down. But he's also young in the Cal League, so if he repeats the league and his numbers jump up, he needs to make some mechanical adjustments. Left-handers crush him. I think he's a mid-rotation starter, and I don't, as a rule, I tend not to invest in mid-rotation arms too much because you can find them everywhere. So, yeah.
I think he's the kind of guy that you should buy low on right now because, like you said, okay. a lot of the hype is been kind of lost on him. But, I mean, plus fastball, plus curveball, I think the changeup will develop into an average offering. Is going to be pitching in Oakland, which is a fantastic location. You know, he hasn't pitched in the best environment, so I think
You could easily see him become, get the strikeout uptick as he moves up through the system. Still young, only 20 years old.
Been young for every level. I want to specify that. So you're right on that.
And so, I mean, the only issue with me is, you know, he doesn't have, he can be inconsistent at times. Young, I think the A's may work a little bit with his mechanics, and you could see him really take a step forward this year.
I hope so. I mean, I probably missed the chance to own him, because now if someone like you that loves him this much, this is your chance to go buy him.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think you probably would have had to pay an arm and a leg going into last year at this time, but yep. Now you can get him as a throw-in guy. He is the kind of guy that I want to get as a throw-in.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess next we can talk about the Cuban guy, right? You want to talk Cubans?
Yeah, Lazaro.
Lazarito? We can do Lazarito. I was going to do Norhe Ruiz, but we can do Lazarito.
Okay.
He's got one of those crazy workout videos like Moncada did. Remember those? Mm-hmm. So that's instant pub there. But he's 17 years old, got $3 million. He's got the power speed that's essential for fantasy goodness, fantasy, you know, everyone loves that, right? Didn't play pro ball this year, took the year off after getting signed. We went to, you know, all the, instructional league, sorry. Mm-hmm. But power speed and the hit tool are probably projectors above average, meaning like he's probably got the second best upside for me, maybe even the best upside of anyone in this organization with Barreto. He's up there with Barreto.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously being so young, there's so many variables. And I guess the last, and what I'll say this too, is the last Cuban guy that the A's signed that people were down on was Cespedes. I know that's completely like not related to the same thing, but like if that's the only one they've ever really jumped on, and then they jump on Lazarito, I have to think they know something more. I don't know. Maybe I'm just grasping at straws, but you watch him play. He doesn't look as athletic as he has advertised. So I don't really know what to think of him. I'm just going off the videos. If I had to pick, I'm a little bit out on Lazarito. I mean,
yeah,
as out as you can be on a 17-year-old. I
understand you saying that, and I think he's not the kind of guy that you want to invest in if you can only roster five or six.
Yeah, guys. If you have a big system and if you have your own separate minor league farm team, then by all means.
Yeah, but I'm in a dynasty league with Darius Austin. And we can roster 15 guys. And if you don't have like a super strong system, like my system's just absolutely stacked in that league. But if you don't have a super strong system, I think he's like the perfect guy for a league like that. 15 team league, 15, you know, minor leaguers. So you're rostering the top 300 guys within the league.
Load up on those lotto tickets, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and just hope that he hits. If he doesn't, then by the time that, you know, he reaches maturity age, there'll be some other big prospect you can grab and drop him for. So, but he's definitely a guy, you know, if you're investing in 17-year-old players, 18-year-old players in one of your dynasty leagues, he's a guy that I think should be owned.
Yeah, if you're doing the 17-year-old game, he's got the skills that you want, mm-hmm. the power and speed. I think the hit tool is average, but okay, if the hit tool is average, I mean, there's a lot of people that think it's above average. I don't. If it's still average and he's still got that above average power and above average speed, which I do think is probably realistic, then he's still a really good player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're playing that game, he is a player to invest in. But I also think you can also play this game and draft him. He's going pretty high in supplemental drafts this year. He's going from what I've seen, it's in the 15 to 20 range he comes off the board.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that.
No. I apologize, 20 to 25 range. I was looking at the wrong sheet. 20 to 25 range he's coming off the board. I thought it would be a little higher than that, to be honest. But he's the type of guy, if you don't believe in him, you can take him and flip him.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's easier said than done because there's a lot of guys that you probably do like that you would want to draft instead. But don't panic if you get stuck with him, because I think he carries quite a bit of name value right now, more than he probably does in real life.
All right, let me do kind of would you rather with three other guys that are teenagers in other systems.
Sure.
So guys who are far away, would you rather right now him or Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
Vlad Jr., and it's not close.
Okay. Adrian Morejon.
Ooh, probably Morejon.
Okay, Wilkerman Garcia.
Lazarito.
Okay. All right, so that kind of gives you an idea of where, mm-hmm. where, like, in supplemental drafts, if these guys are available, you should take them.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to another guy.
Let's go Logan Shore. He was a teammate of Puck at Florida. I think he's just a number four back-end guy, good command control dude. Not exactly the highest upside, but he's a guy to know because in this ballpark, everybody plays up a little bit. So mm-hmm. it's good to follow him around. We forgot this other guy. We'll jump to the other Cuban, Jorge Ruiz. They just signed him this year. I believe it was $2 million. I'm not sure, though. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. He's got that small righty disease, if that's something that bothers you. He's a short righty. It doesn't like I've talked about how size isn't a thing that I care about as much, but he should be up to the big leagues pretty quick. Everything I've read, he's an advanced Cuban guy. Kind of, if you watch him pitch, it's like a little Freddy Garcia vibe. Mm-hmm. I know Garcia wasn't Cuban, but he's got the gyrations and the the exaggerated arm snap and after every throw. Supposedly, from scouting reports, mid-90s fastball that has plus movement, a plus changeup, and an above-average slider and above-average splitter. I don't know how well that's all going to translate. Assuming the pitches translate as they were listed, that's a pretty good profile. But again, he's going to be a guy that gets more ground balls and strikeouts, I think, just based on the profile. So that might hurt you in the strikeout numbers for fantasy, but I think if he can keep the ratios down, he's pitching in a good park. So he's got to follow. I'm not exactly even sure what to do with him for investing wise. So, I mean, I don't really have a good answer for anybody, but he's a little bit older. He's 22 from Cuba. So he was subject to the bonus pool. He's got to track. You're going to have to, he's going for nothing right now. So if you want to take a late round stab at him, you can get a mid rotation starter for nothing. I think that's okay. But I don't know. Yeah. He's kind of a mystery, man. Hmm. And I guess a couple of other, Dakota Chalmers is another high leverage arm coming up. He's real skinny, projectable, gets a lot of ground balls. He could be a number two starter down the line if everything breaks, but he's so far away. Dalton Jeffries out of Cal was drafted this year between Puck and Shore. Jeffries went in between them. He's a mid-rotation arm, command control. Marcos Brito is a big bonus baby this year. Got a lot of money all around shortstop. Richie Martin was a defensive first shortstop that was drafted last year by them in the first round out of Florida. They like the Florida kids, evidently. Good shortstop. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's going to hit enough, but he's worth plowing because a lot of that stuff pops up. Yadro Munoz is another guy. He's a defensive first shortstop, but he can run, so he's got something. And they have a guy by the name of Sky Bolt, if you like that. So he's a Sky Bolt on the all-name team for me. But he's a defensive first outfielder that could hit enough. We'll see, though. Max Schrock, you follow Fangraphs, Carson Cistulli loves him. Mm-hmm. He's a high contact, decent power, fits the San Francisco Giants mold of middle infielders. They have a lot of success with those guys. I'm not sure how well Oakland does with him, but he's good. Daniel Gossett. He's a sleeper arm to look for, a kid out of, I believe, Clemson. I don't want to be wrong. National championship Clemson team, I should say. Yeah, second-round pick in 2014. He had a big year this year. He got the ERA 2.4 in AA, 1.9 in AAA. He had a strikeout per inning, well over a strikeout per inning when you factor in his lower-level numbers. I think he's a chance to be a mid-rotation arm, but one with a little bit more upside than that with a nice curveball. A nice cutting slider, kind of hybrid pitch, kind of high 80s. The changeup's his go-to pitch for swing and miss, so you know how much I love those pitches. So he's a guy to follow, Daniel Gossett. So keep that name in mind, too. It's a little bit kind of a sleeper for you.
Okay. What about, did you mention Jason Brugman yet?
I did not. He's a probably a fourth outfield profile. Okay. Kid out of BYU, so don't trust him as multiple wives, but I'm just kidding. He's a guy that's no real weak thing, but he's got the nice enough power, enough speed, and enough plate approach to be interesting. In an organization like Oakland, he might be a guy that takes a step up. You know what I mean? But it's a little bit thinner as you get down lower.
And okay. It's
definitely noticeably thinner than most organizations when we get down here.
You have any interest in second baseman Joey Wendell or Mikey White?
I like Joey Wendell. He's an OBP doubles machine. I think the ceiling is capped by Oakland because it's a tough park to hit in, just as a good park to pitch in. So it's a tough park to hit in. So Joey Wendell is a AL-only stash for me that's going to play this year. He's in that kind of mix with Chad Pinder. So one of those two will emerge as the second baseman if something happens, I think. So, yeah, he's a good name to know.
Okay. Well, that will wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt again on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Email the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. If you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, we will get you into a listener league or make you eligible for other prizes later on in the off season, as long as you send it via email or to at Fantasy Benefits on Twitter. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.